gentlemen, to Get Smart. That's right, where we inject a little common sense into today's world. And I get some help doing that alongside Charles Walschein, leading housing attorney right here on Long Island, and Stephen Schwartz, entrepreneur, businessman extraordinaire. And together, hopefully, we try and hammer some things out here in a very sensible approach. We say a very good morning to Charles and Steve. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, gentlemen. By the way, word just came through, Stephen Schwartz. The Mets have fired Jarrett Porter, the general manager, the new general manager, who, in his capacity with the Chicago Cubs, decided to do some scouting on his own. But in his own way, you would think. But nonetheless, the Mets would have nothing about it as far as what he did. Didn't want to put up with it. Obviously, common sense prevails from Sandy Alderson. And they just terminated Jarrett Porter, rightfully so. Listen, they did the Carlos Beltran thing after the sign stealing and everything else. So, you guys both agree the only thing to do here regarding the new Mets general manager and Jarrett Porter was to show him the door. Do you agree with that?
Jay, you know this is a controversial mixed review you're going to get right now from me, but I'm going to be very, very precise when I tell you that the Mets had no other choice but to fire him, and not because of what he so much did or didn't do. Again, I have a real problem when people come out 4 years later. I think you had to wait for all the facts to come out. But when you do something and you're being hired for a job and you don't come out and tell your boss in a very, especially in a high profile job like the Mets GM, that you're not going to come out and say, hey, I had a little bit of a problem. This could come up. I want to let you guys know, instead of having the Mets get fudge all over their face and again be embarrassed and be caught in a corner. So I would have loved, you know, in a real world, if we're really going to get into this, I really would love, for the Mets to have taken another day or two to have actually gotten a hold of the woman and asked her, what would you like us to do with this? I want you to, I would you like to ruin this guy's life? Did it really go down this way? What were the facts?
Let me ask you. Was this
playful or was this not? And you know what, Jay? The one thing you know about me is that I have no stomach for anyone violating anybody. Okay, you know that about me. Okay, and you know that I have a friend who had a similar situation, and it was a victimless crime, and the guy's life got torn apart. Okay, so again, every situation is different. It really needs to be looked at a certain way. Instead, everyone just jumps on board and just says, hey, it's the easy thing to do. It's just run and just vilify a person when it's possible, it's playful. And then my last thought to this is, let's say it was the other way around. Have you ever heard of anybody, when it's the other way around, when a woman would send maybe her, sexual parts to a man. Could you imagine? I have yet to hear a man come out and go, oh my God, I haven't been the same in 4 years because I had a woman send blank blank to me and I just haven't gotten through it. And he just waits for the opportune moment when she's going to be a Hollywood star and says, I was violated. Now, I'm not saying it's right on either end. I'm just saying there's a double standard here, and B, get to the facts. Stop putting it out there and then having the world jump on the other person and then ruining a person's life. And maybe he deserved to get his life ruined. But if you listen to every sportscaster today and every know-it-all and every person that's going to come out of the woodwork just to dump on this guy, and maybe he does deserve it. But you know what?
He only deserves it.
Doesn't Jay? Let's say
Steve,
he doesn't.
Steve, let me answer you. And what do you think? Somebody put a gun to Jared Porter's head and told him drop your drawers or else? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, we all have choices. Now, listen, I want to get into the sanctity of Anthony Weiner. And I'm not talking about that case or any other case. I'm talking about what Jared Porter did back in 2016. It wasn't the right thing to do. Even if he wasn't in a position as he was with the Chicago Cubs organization, I mean, that's not the right thing to do, to send explicit pictures of that nature. I mean, is that really the professional, the morality of, I mean, is it the right thing to do? And by the way, I mean, I'm not talking about what women do as far as what Jared Porter did in this particular, it's what I'm focusing on, what Jared Porter did 4 years ago. Nobody forced him. Nobody forced him to drop his Hanes, okay? He did it upon his own volition.
He
thought it was funny.
He
thought it was funny and everything else. Nobody forced him. And as far as the proof's in the pudding, as far as the pictures are concerned. So nobody's conjuring up stories or anything else. What Jared Porter did is what he did. And the termination was the right thing to do, without question.
Listen, Jay, I'm not taking his side. I'm just saying let the facts come out. If these are the facts, then I'm with you, Jay. I'm with you. 100%. 100%.
But what more factual information do you need? What more facts are there than a picture of his genitalia as far as being on the other side of a text?
I don't need anything else, Jay. I don't need anything else. If
you know what I say? Can I bust in here a second, guys? I say you do a lineup. Because it's a question of fact as to whether that's exactly his genitalia, whether the genitalia is in fact his. I say you need a lineup, like they do on Law and Order. You know, they put like 12, you know, 6 guys in a room. You know, number 1, number 2, and you have to pick him out of the lineup, and then you fire him. If it matches, it matches. If not, it's just some lewd stuff, and let us sue him or whatever. I don't know what to tell you. But this whole thing. And, you know, Schwartzy was 100% right about, I've never heard any man ever complain when a girl sends him a picture of her in a bikini or this or that or something like that, just as a boyfriend, girlfriend type of thing. And then years later, they break up and all this. You don't know I'm sure he didn't pick some lady out of a phone book. I'm sure there was something going on here. I don't think he did it randomly. And, you know, is it lewd? Is it wrong? Is it the kind of thing that can come up and bite you in the butt later? Well, sure, it always does.
You think, Jules? You think maybe that thought process could come up in Porter's head? You know what? Maybe I should think twice by doing this. You know, maybe I can attain a role in baseball. Maybe I can actually run a club one day. Should I send? I mean, you know, you make a reference of a lineup. Are you kidding me? I mean, what are we going to look at? Peyronie's disease with Bill Clinton back in the day? I mean, come on. Give me a – guys, seriously, come on. This is an impeachable offense.
You have to do a genitalia lineup.
Come on. This is an impeachable offense.
You need a genitalia lineup.
Charles and Steve, the smart guys, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, let's move on. We have a big problem here on Long Island with this vax rollout. You know, I'm tired of the finger pointing already. From the head man of the state, you know, we're blaming the government on this, we're blaming the government on that. You know, I'm blaming a lot here on the state. And Steve, the reason is, when the state receives, give or take, 800,000 doses, and you're only inoculating half of that, I don't get it. Why the finger point? I mean, could you use up the medicine first? And then point to the government that we need supply. I mean, come on. He's 50%, okay? For argument's sake, 50% of the supply he is putting into the arms of individuals. We are so quick to hear Albany always point to Washington as the failure for it all. Quit threatening, quit fining, and inoculate and divvy out the damn medicine. I don't want to hear it anymore. You have supply on hand. Let's get it going.
Well, you know, it is Washington's fault. It starts in Washington. It started at the White House, and it's trickled down. We've talked about this for weeks. And I, I, I don't agree with you, Jay. I just don't agree with you. I think that the problem with this and that's going on here is that there's a big monster coming out of this whole coronavirus vaccine. Because remember, you have to put this in 140 below zero to begin with. Then you need a second one. Let's say you get the everyone gets the first one, but there's not enough to go around for the second one. Is that a dangerous situation? Has anyone answered this question? Does anybody know what the dangers are or isn't? I mean, Cuomo wants to go and get a direct relationship with Pfizer and have Pfizer, deliver straight to New York. No broker, no nothing. I kind of like that. I kind of like what he's saying. Yeah, it is Washington. He probably calls up there and gets no answers. He wants to be a little bit ahead of the game, a little bit thinking maybe a little bit, months ahead, and he's getting no answers from Washington. So what do you expect this guy to do when we, like you said, we get everybody, their first round all done, and then we look at them, and then we're 5 months in, and they're 2 months behind. We got people 2-3 months behind that couldn't get their second vaccine in. What does that mean medically? What does that mean? And what kind of leadership would you be yelling at then? What would you be saying then?
Steve, use up what you got, okay? Quit threatening hospitals. Quit threatening with fines. Use up the supply, please. We can't even figure it out here on Long Island. It's a disaster. What's going on? As far as Stony Brook and the 20,000 and the compromising of a link, when you have supply on hand, use it up. Don't tell me you only have 50% of the supply in place. You have 50% left over. Listen, I agree. I would go direct myself to Pfizer and to Moderna and say, listen, I got to get this vaccine, okay? I understand that. It's the right way to go, and I do agree that the government has completely dropped the ball, okay? Absolutely agree. Terrible job. That's why this guy lost the election, without question. But that's a different story right now. When you are only inoculating 50% of your supply, you must shut up and divvy out the medicine. Then you could do all the screaming you want, okay? And I understand. Listen, we have a national problem here. Supply and demand. But New York right now is not doing a good job compared to other states. That's a fact, Charles Walshine. That's a fact. When you compare what Florida is doing down there as far as what New York's doing here, it is a disaster of how they're going about their business.
Well, here's the story with these vaccines. Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine require a Part A and a Part B. The reason that is because the way the vaccine is designed, the first inoculation wakes up your B cells. The second one, a month later, wakes up your T cells. And one is like, giving the scent to the dog, and then the one, a month later, is like setting the dog into attack mode, so it knows what to attack. So every time somebody gets, and this goes to Stevie's point, every time you get a shot, you got to get another one within 28 days. And if you don't get the one in 28 days, the effectivity of the first shot becomes almost nothing. That's what I'm reading. So every time you give somebody a shot, they need another one in a month. So you keep the stuff frozen, especially now that you may not have enough to give them a second shot. So what the hell was the point of giving them the first shot? Makes the first shot a complete waste of time. This is the thing. This is like government work at its best. This is like something that is so common sense. This is how something works. This is how it has to be applied. So we're going to do exactly the opposite to make the whole thing a waste of time. That's the problem. It doesn't sit with a president or a vice president or a governor. It sits with the experts to go and say, governor, this is how it has to work. If we don't do it this way, we are wasting our time. The whole thing is an exercise in futility. And I haven't heard that. And
point.
Why do we always have to do something first? Why do we have to call what is so unbelievably obvious that to making a point? So does anybody understand, like to what you were saying, and I agree with you, that get it out there, but you just can't give a bunch of treating a bunch of people with first inoculations without having the second backup is a waste of time.
And well,
when we talk about that,
listen,
then we can have a real conversation about
how to
really stop the virus.
Well, listen, I think you're missing the point. It's not about the backup right now and the second dose and getting the shot. It's about the first go-around here. The first go-around, there is supply, and then he's holding it back. Can't do that. You can't hold back the supply right now. People are dying, okay? People are dying. Let's get the medicine out. Let's get it out there, okay? But don't hold back the vaccine right now, okay? Because you want to be, you know, whatever you want to be. We know you're the leader of the state. We know you manage the state, okay? I get it. But let's get the vaccine out there. That's what I'm against. When there is supply, and I understand that second shot has to be in place. And at that point, at a certain point, even, you know, he's doing it. He's asking for the guy. He's going to Pfizer. He wants to go to Pfizer. He wants approval to go direct. And I get it. That's all well and good. But don't tell me. You have supply in hand. When you have supply, you should have any supply.
But does Pfizer,
no supply.
Does Pfizer
get it out there. Get that vaccine out there. Get it out there. That's what I'm saying. Okay? So it's a tough situation at all. I just lost my feed here. Okay, got it back a little bit. Charles and Steve. Charles, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand, but I want to know. No one says this. No one asks the question, is Pfizer sitting there with another 50 million doses ready to go, or do they not have any? What's the story over there? What's up with Moderna? Did they run out? Can they not deliver it? I mean, what's going on? Does anybody ask this question? Again,
that's a good point. That's a separate issue.
That's a good question. Malcolm always asking it.
That's a separate issue because you go to the manufacturer.
The little elephant beanie baby, you couldn't get one. Kids were crying all over the country. The fact that you couldn't get one is that they ran out. You couldn't get one if you tried. This isn't like they're holding back. Nobody's holding back. I don't think you can get any. But that story has to come out. Imagine what a fiasco that would be.
No, listen, all in all,
the first time you need a second shot for it to be effective. And sorry, we let it all go at once. Boy, that is typical government thinking.
Charles and Steve, smart guys. All right, let's move on. The Biden era begins officially tomorrow. I'm still trying to figure this thing out. You know, he wants to close the gap. You know, he's going to be for the people, by the people, blah, blah, blah. Yet, I look at some of these things right now going on here. I don't know what to think. You know, he intends to rejoin the Paris Accords on climate change. He wants to end the President Donald Trump's ban on travel from several nations that have serious problems with terrorism, promoting other extremism-type situations. There's reports I had this morning that he'll rescind Trump's approval of the Keystone Pipeline. You know, when I look at all this, I look at what's happening with immigration as far as the southern border is concerned and letting, you know, those individuals in, 8,000 or so I'm looking at with these caravans already on the way to this country of Honduran migrants who are in Guatemala. I mean, do we not realize we have a COVID problem right now? I mean, are we going to test those 8,000? We have a death toll at 400,000. I mean, where are we at here? Are we trying to accommodate the left and even the progressive left? Or are we not thinking that way and just doing it on our own accord and, you know, just being a president who has our own way of thinking? I'm trying to figure this guy out, Steve. But basically, he's going to twist and turn everything that Donald Trump did good stuff, okay? He wants to flip that around, and it seems like he's trying to accommodate a party here. That's what it seems like to me, and he hasn't even taken the oath of office yet.
It's Dawn of a New Day, a great song written by me and Christopher Tolan and Tony Rosato. It's called Dawn of a New Day, and I listened to it last night, and the words are exactly what's going on here. I mean, we are we are about to turn a page. So what you liked and what you might not like and what is going to happen is going to happen, and you're immediately going to pick up on the politics again. Is this politics? Are we taking all of Trump's good stuff and we're just going to, you know, throw it in the garbage and it's just the party line? Or is it something else? And I think, you know, the intriguing conversation is, where are we at? Like you say, Jay, you always say, where are we at? Where we at right now is we are like dawn of the dead. I mean, we are walking around like zombies, all right? After last week, we're basically limping to the finish line of the Trump Celebrity Apprentice show is about to end tomorrow. Let's pray to God that everyone is safe and everything works out according to plan, that the guy gets actually sworn in tomorrow with no craziness going on. And everybody is kind of just like walking around. And what you're saying, I read the same thing that you said. There are things there that he's looking to do that I certainly, you know, raise an eyebrow and go, oh, God, I hope this doesn't really work this way. But I think that the devil's in the details. And I think that he hasn't even done anything yet. They're just talking about these things. They said that he's going to sign a lot of some of the stuff that you said on the first day. But what does it actually mean? Like when you talk about the immigration stuff and bringing it in, what new laws is he talking about? The COVID. He's supposed to be becoming the sheriff of COVID. He's going to make COVID go away. I believe he's got a good plan for COVID. So I believe that whatever you're saying, you're misconstruing what he might be doing. So at least give him the benefit of the doubt to at least get sworn in before we start making judgments about something he hasn't even done yet. So, again, lowering the temperature will be a good thing. Hopefully for the next 48 hours, everything will be nice and safe. Things will get off to a good start. And then, you know, we can go into the details of what you want to go into, because I don't think there's any factual evidence that he might be passing a law that you might not like, or reverse a law that from Trump, but he might be putting in other writings in that law that might change the direction of what you're thinking.
I don't know about what Steve just said. I mean, Joe Biden has made it pretty clear to me he's going to loosen Trump's restrictions on asylum claims. He's going to decrease deportations. Listen, he's even talked of ending the cooperation with Mexico to counter the surge of the southern border. I mean, listen, and I mentioned to you regarding the 8,000 or so Honduran migrants in Guatemala, caravans on the way here. You know, I mean, these are facts. These are facts. And it will bother me if they truly become exercised in a way once he takes the oath tomorrow. Because we got big problems in this country right now. And I'm worried about, you know, COVID in particular. You know, are we going to make sure we have rapid tests at the border? Are we going to have rapid? I don't think we're going to have rapid tests. I don't think so. So, in essence, I'm a little disturbed, at least, of the reports of what's happening at the border right now. No?
This is a repeat of what we had in 2018. That's when you really had waves of people coming in. Can you imagine? Because everybody in the world is infected. It's going to be a disaster. You can't let these people get out into the population. You can't keep them together in one spot because you can't social distance in these cages. Remember, you had everybody in cages. The density in a prison or in one of these tantamount to a refugee camp is so much higher than there is in the rest of the population. There's no way you're going to be able to stop it. You want to talk about herd immunity? These people are going to get sick. You're not going to be able to treat them. It's going to be a humanitarian a crisis. So this is where the best of intentions will lead directly or path to hell, because you're going to watch these people dropping dead and getting unbelievably sick to tax the resources of the country they're already beyond the limit. Imagine, you know, Southern California. What a disaster area. You think they can absorb more? You think the medical system there with oxygen and medicine and physical boots on the ground as far as treating people who are sick can't absorb anymore? And then you're going to spread that to Texas and Arizona. You're going to have a disaster. It's already a disaster. It's going to be like a tsunami that literally just wipes out tens of thousands of people in worse than it is already.
Alrighty.
Go from 4,000 deaths a day to 10,000 deaths a day. It'll be disaster.
Charlie, you don't believe that he doesn't have a separate plan for that? You just believe that he's just going to put people into our population? You believe that? I don't believe that.
Oh, what? Really?
I don't know.
It's not going to go through. Even if you kept them by themselves, even if you segregated them, the disaster that's going to go on is going to be going on here. But this is what's happening in the caravan. You know, no one's addressing this problem. The reason we have an immigration problem in this country in the first place is because these people want to leave their country so badly. You know how you solve the problem? You make them not want to leave. I don't see people from England and the Western world and, you know, Western Europe lining up to come here the way they do from Central America. You know what kind of conditions they have there? Every place is run by drug gangs. Why don't you go down there and have a Marshall Plan in Central America and straighten that place out? Give them some industry. Give them a way to live. Because we're the ones who create, in the end, through the 70s and 80s, our foreign policy created that problem. And we did nothing to clean it up. We just made the mess like we do everywhere else in the world, and we just walked away. Now it's time. You want to solve the immigration problem? Make them not want to leave so bad. How's that? How's that for an idea?
And the answer to your question, Stephen, is yes. They will be thrown right into the population. There's no plan after they enter this country. They'll have to go through the protocol and everything else. But was there ever a plan regarding letting people in from the borders? There was never a plan in that regard. There's no plan now outside of the fact that, you know, we're the land of the free, opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, everybody forgets the need for people in this country to be helped. Which has gone null and void before this president on the last 4 years. You never saw that. So now we're going to just go back to the way it was, let everybody in. And here we go again with everything going on, especially with a virus out there. And we can't even control a surge, but we're going to let thousands, tens of thousands of people into this country, undocumented. You know, let's just continue the ways of way back and you see how that worked out, right? So, in essence, it's a wait-and-see approach, but I'll tell you one thing. A lot of people don't have a good feeling about it. Now, we give out a very coveted award. It's called the Bronze 30 for those who have stepped in it. Three good candidates from last week, and we'll tell you about the upcoming nominees right after these words. The coveted Bronze 30 for those who have stepped in it, ladies and gentlemen. And you do it by going to the Twitter page of LI News Radio at LI News Radio. You can vote. 5,400 people did. Very close. Holy Graham. It was at the wire. The winner, Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley, out of the state, the Show Me State, out of the state of Missouri. And, you know, I think Hawley sealed his fate and stepped in it when he gave the power sign to the riders and everything else. Listen, this guy is nothing but an opportunist. You know, came out on all the shows. He was one of the first guys to state that he would object, you know, when the objections were going to come about regarding the Electoral College and everything else. You know, no proof, no evidence. We know the deal. Yet this guy only wanted to make a name for himself. Listen, he has aspirations, and why not, of maybe being the commander-in-chief one day. But this guy is nothing but a fraud, in my opinion. And I'm hoping the voters realize that on his next turn of votes. But Josh Hawley, the recipient, Amanda, if you can box that up, put a bow on it, if you don't mind, and we'll send that off to the likes and offices of Josh Hawley. All right, now, well done, by the way, Charles. And Stephen, you are not far behind with who's that? Lindsey Graham, not far behind at all. Lindsey Graham's another one of those guys. You know, who has no basis of argument 65% of the time. Stephen, give me your nominee for the upcoming, sir.
First of all, congratulations, Charlie. You are the first back-to-back same. It's with the same guy. The same guy that he won with. That's very, very impressive. Congratulations to Charlie on that. That was terrific. But the same guy. There have been triple winners. There have been quadruple winners. But never with the same guy back-to-back. It's almost tempting to give him again this week because I have another chance to do that. Just think about that. But I'm going to go with Ted Cruz this week because I can't believe how he still, you know, is trying to hedge and wedge
And at the same token, just keeps on drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, to think that this guy was actually, you know, very close to winning the Republican nominee. It came down to him and Trump. That he was right on the cusp of possibly winning. And then getting to know him over the next 4 years was even worse than getting to know him on the previous four. So, you know, the one thing I could say that Donald Trump is thank you that Ted Cruz was not our president for 4 years. So Ted Cruz, who continues to step in it and has a chance to try to make a little bit of peace and harmony, continues to make, just chaos as this regime says goodbye tomorrow. So Ted Cruz is my guy.
Ted Cruz, a nominee for Mr. Schwartz. Mr. Walsh, your nominee, sir.
I have the acting Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller, because I believe that that this mob, this unruly mob that destroyed our nation's capital, I believe that entire thing is an inside job, incited, sent up there. I think it was an inside job straight from the White House, and it extended through the military. Because people don't realize that the National Guard right now, every single National Guardsman in Washington is doing background checks. And they're not doing, the FBI is doing background checks on our own National Guard. This guy, Christopher Miller, I don't know if people generally don't know this, but they don't have a governor. D.C. doesn't have a governor that can call out the National Guard. They have, the only person who can call out the National Governor in District of Columbia is the Secretary of Defense. He was begged by the police force, the D.C. cops, the regular police force. He was begged by the governor of Maryland. Can I send in, you know, I'll send troops. He was gone. He was silent. So he wouldn't answer the phone. This guy is a criminal. Before you start talking about people sending anybody to jail, you put this guy on the hot seat. You get him to answer questions. And you prosecute this guy for all of that happening. Sitting loose. These weren't normal Republican people. These were QAnon nuts that invaded these nutbags. You see a guy with the helmet and the furry hat? It was like, imagine 5,000 of them. That's who they were. These idiots, these morons, these QAnon idiots, incited by this guy, and he did nothing to stop them. He wouldn't answer his phone. This guy's a criminal. Christopher Miller, turd of the week or the month or the year. He's turd of a lifetime.
We thank you, sir. Christopher Miller is Mr. Walshine's choice. Mine is, listen, it's an obvious one. It's general manager, ex-general manager of the New York Mets, Jared Porter. And if you're just tuning in, folks, the New York Mets have terminated Jared Porter, who allegedly sent texts to a foreign male, a female reporter in 2016 when he was running the Cubs scouting department. Apparently, he had a hot prospect that he wanted to showcase, and it wasn't going to fly. But in essence, right now, Jared Porter is out. Not only at first base, but at home plate. He is my nominee as far as the recipient of the Bronze Terzi Award. And you can vote on it, folks, by going to the Twitter page, LI News Radio. Just go to at LI News Radio, and it'll be up and running there. Gentlemen, great stuff. Great topics. And we await the rest of the week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Jay.
Bye-bye, Jay. Have a good week.